Got to get the font right on my iPad this morning. Seems like it keeps getting smaller and smaller. And unlike my King James Bible, I can't expand it. So thank the Lord for expansion in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I could sing that song all afternoon. Fear is not my future. You are. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. What we embrace and what we look for, amen, is what we receive. Pastor was here not too long ago, said, where you stare, you steer. Where you stare, you steer. Where your focus is where you tend to, you drive in the car, you see that big 8-point buck on the side of the road, and before you know, you have to make, you what? You know the feeling. You got to compensate, right? Because your focus gets distracted. Or how many know it is a time to focus on what God says is true? The word that we focus on, the hope, the thrill of hope is the series that we just finished at Christmas time. Man, aren't you thankful for hope this morning? Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? That regardless of where you are, what you deal with, there is always, always hope, and there is always something to be thankful for. Amen? And so I'm very thankful to be gathered here this morning. Missed not having service last Sunday with the snow. And I promise you, it was snowing at my house this morning, even though some of you all didn't get blessed with it. It's okay. But I miss it when I'm not here. I miss the gathering. And also want to remind you, if you want to connect with us on our one call system, it's an automated system that will call out when we have cancellations and things like that. Please see me and we'll get you to fill out a form so we have your contact info. Also, if you've not connected with us on Facebook, we have a Facebook volunteer page, family page, and we send out a lot of messages like that. We also have a website, wodchurch.com. You can go there at any time, find our live streams, our podcast, and things like that. So we want to connect with you. We want you to connect with us. I love what Miss Nikki said. I'm still figuring everybody out. That's all right. Love having you here. We don't have church membership. You belong to the Lord. You don't belong to us. So we feel like if your heart is connected here, your giving will be connected here, your serving will be connected here, and it'll be all for the glory of God. Amen. So little housekeeping stuff there, but it is 2024. How did we get here so fast? Amen. 2024. You know, we said before it was just yesterday, wasn't it, that it was Y2K, and, you know, we've gone through some seasons, and I'm not one to say, you know, oftentimes it's like, what's the word for the year? What's God saying for the word for 2024? And I don't believe that there is just a word. The word for you may be different than the word is for me. And, you know, we can get catchy phrases, mourn 24, you know, open doors in 24. I do remember very clearly speaking back in 2020 that it was a year of renewed vision. And boy, did we see a lot of things. And boy, did we need to stay focused and keep our vision on the things of the Lord. Amen. And all those are still relevant, but I want to talk a little bit, it's really kind of a continuation of the Christmas story that I want to share this morning, but I was laying in my bed the other night, and I really felt like the Lord spoke this word to me, and I'll share it with you, and I believe it is relevant in this house, I believe it's relevant to this congregation and family, but the word that he spoke to me was opportunity, and then that's all he said. So I'm still waiting on clarification of what that means, but I believe it's a year of opportunity. And I am going to focus in that direction, and I'm going to look for opportunity. And we're going to share some things about that today, and I want you to just think about that even in your own life. What is it that God has put before you in this year of opportunity that you need to seize the moment and realize that God has placed you in this place or in this season for such a time as this. Amen. How many believe there is an anointing on your life that where God places you is strategic? I rarely go out of my house anymore that I don't run into somebody, and before the day is out, I'll say, oh, that's why you sent me there, Lord, to connect or to talk to somebody or to share. And let me just say, it's not always that I'm there to connect with somebody. Sometimes I'm there for them to minister to me. Amen. And so I believe there are opportunities everywhere. And I believe when we open our heart to say, Lord, I receive what you have for me in this year of opportunity. Some of you are looking for big opportunities. Some of it may just be small things. But I believe it is very important in this day and season to know the voice of the Lord and to be led by the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. The power of the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. I may know Esther, when she went to go, and Mordecai came to Esther and said, Esther, you know, you're going to have to go in and see the king. And she said, that's not the way it works here. I don't go in unless he calls for me, and I'm just one of many. And he said, don't think that you haven't been put in this place for such a time as this. And he began to speak to Esther, and she said, then you have the people pray, and I will go, and if I perish, then I perish, but I'm going to see the king on behalf of my people. How many know God gave opportunity to a beauty queen to go in and change a nation for the glory of God? Don't think that you don't have the goods or don't have the tools or don't have the whatever it takes for God to do big things in your life. How many know God specializes in the small? That should have got a bigger amen out of that. God specializes in the small. Amen. He took a small baby to change a world. He took a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the disciples said, but what good is that going to do? What are those among so many? God will take what you release and submit into his hand to bring increase in your life if you'll trust him with it. Yeah. Amen? How many of you are ready to trust God in areas of your life with the small? You've got some big dreams. You've got some big hopes. You've got some big prayers out there. And I'm ready to trust God with the small to do the big. Amen? Because sometimes the small is the big. I love how God works. He takes our qualities, he takes our talents and our treasures, and he multiplies them, and he brings increase in our lives. How many are ready for increase? Yeah. Amen. We think about that. Increase is not always just in finances. Increase, we'll all take that. Amen. Can I have a big round of applause? Amen for that one, right? We're all ready for increase. Hallelujah. And God wants to take a heart that is willing to do the miraculous in. Amen. So I want to talk about opportunity this year. And a year of opportunity and opportunity for growth. Nikki's already spoke this one, opportunity for education. An opportunity for promotion. An opportunity for faith encounters. An opportunity for relationships and healed relationships. An opportunity to strengthen faith, an opportunity to sow seed, and an opportunity for acts of kindness. You can put whatever else you want in there. An opportunity for and see what God will do. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we talk in the scriptures, and I mentioned this before, about we say that there were 3 wise men, right? And that's not scriptural, right? The Bible doesn't say that there were 3 wise men. It says that they were men who traveled from afar. They didn't travel from a bar. They traveled from afar. If Monty had been here, he would have laughed with that one. But they traveled from afar, and they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we automatically say, and we get our philosophy and our doctrine from We Three Kings of Orient Are, right? It's not scripture, but it's a pretty song. We put them in our nativities and things like that. And so we say that there were three wise men. Well, I will submit to you that there were three wise men, now that I said all that. There was Zechariah and Joseph and Simeon, who are in the story of Christ. Amen? Three wise men. But can I also tell you there were three wise women? Elizabeth and Mary and Anna. They were all in the story of what Christ was doing in that season. Understand, it was a season of silence. 400 years since the spoken prophetic word had been given, and that God had said anything openly or prophetic in the scriptures from the time of Malachi to the coming of the Messiah. And then what does God do when he finally shows up to speak to Zechariah? He gives him 9 more months of silence, right? How many know God sometimes will put you in a silent season so that you can hear from the heavens? I don't know about you, but sometimes noise gets in our head, right? Noise, things that we hear constantly bombard us, and it gets in our head, but it's in those quiet moments that God will reveal himself to us and make known the beauty of what he wants to birth in us in that season. Amen? And so we're going to go to Luke chapter 2 again this morning, and we're going to start in verse 21 of Luke chapter 2. There's so much happening even in this portion of scripture that I don't want to get held up teaching you the background of what is happening, but to give you an overview of it. But it's a beautiful study if you get a chance to look into it. But it says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I mean, we are seeing an appearing and an encounter of people with the Holy Ghost even before the day on the upper room. Hallelujah. How many know the Holy Ghost has been since the beginning? But they are moved and led. How many know the scripture says that Elizabeth began to pray and to prophesy, and that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb? How many believe your kids are anointed and chosen by God? And that what you input into them matters. What you impart to them, what you teach them matters. Hallelujah. And so he was said he was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which thou prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The scripture tells us of two people, a widow and a man named Simeon. It doesn't call him a priest. It doesn't give him credentials. They were both very old, but they were both very just, devout, and they were waiting on the redemption or the consolation of Israel. What that means is they were believing God for the promises to come to pass. Amen. And so the scripture tells us that Anna doesn't even leave the temple. She stays there in fasting and praying and believing. But Simeon was prompted by the Holy Ghost to go to church that Sunday morning. Amen. And when he gets there, the scripture tells us that he realizes that the very thing that he's been praying for is in the house this morning, and he's about to embrace it in his arms. And when he does, he grabs that baby up and says, "Lord, now you can let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. I have embraced it in my arms. I am holding the promise of God. And you have fulfilled what you said that I would see." Amen. How many know there is a difference in seeing something and embracing it? You can see that baby through that window in the maternity ward, right? But there's nothing like holding it in your arms and knowing that this belongs to me. Hallelujah. The scripture says he is prompted by the Spirit to go to church, to go to the temple that day. He begins to lift that baby up and prophesy over him, saying, "This is the child that has been spoken of. This is the one who will stand for the rise and fall of many." But he says he'll be a light not only to Israel, not only to my people, but a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. I mean, you know what Jesus came to do was to make of twain one new man. That can be Jew and Gentile, bond or free, male or female. Hallelujah. To bring together can be old covenant, new covenant, law and grace. He come to make of twain one new man. How many are thankful that there's now no separation? There is no rejection because he has accepted you into the beloved. How many know we got here by the blood of Jesus, not because we had Hebrew credentials? We got here because we're led by the Holy Spirit to come into the house to see what God is doing, because there's an appearing. How many can believe that in this day and 2024, there's appearing of the Son of God in the house of God that's about to revolutionize the word of the Lord and what's going to be spoken? See, what happens is so many times we are preaching a word of negativity. I was someplace the other day, and there was something on TV, and it was a Christian network, and I said, if I had to listen to this every day, I would poke my eyes out. Now, I don't mean to be mean. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But when I come to the house of the Lord, I want to hear about Jesus. I want to hear about the faithfulness of God. I want to hear how big he is. I don't want to hear politics. I don't want to hear world problems. Not that I don't think they exist, but the scripture said, he, if we begin to magnify him, hallelujah, and we lift up the name of Jesus, we waste too much time talking about negativity and all the things we think is wrong with the world. I come today to tell you there's some things that's right with the world, and it's because the Messiah is in his holy temple, and he's about to make an appearance to all those who choose to look for him. Come on, somebody. You can focus on negativity all you want to. And when I wrote home, I said, Lord, let me be a pastor who's guilty of preaching you too big, too strong, too loving, too graceful, too full of miracles, too big. Hallelujah. Don't let me fall short of lifting up the name of Jesus to magnify who he is in the earth and in my life in this day. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And when he begins to lift up that baby, you heard me say it before, what kind of God picks teenagers to bring forth the promise of God in the earth? Our kind of God does. What kind of God sends himself in the form of a baby and not with a troop of white horses to come and rescue the world? Our God does. That's why I have a heart for kids. That's why I have a heart for the generations. Because don't tell me that God can't speak to them in their youth and begin to use them as instruments of his glory and of his praise to begin to open the eyes of some people to say, I have held in my arm the promise of the Messiah. He has been faithful to my generations, and you can let your servant part in peace because you have fulfilled your promises to me. The name Simeon means he who hears. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Do you know that when Jesus preached most of his sermons in the Gospels, he would finish by saying, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. He wasn't saying, can you hear me? Am I on? Can you hear me now? Right? He's not saying that. He's saying, he who will have an ear to hear with understanding what I am saying, let him hear. Because if you ever really hear from what God is saying in your ear, it will manifest into who you are as you step into the things that God is speaking to you. See, Pastor Lisa, he don't talk to me. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. He will talk to you through a sermon. He will talk to you through a worship song. He'll talk to you through the clerk at the Walmart. He'll talk to you at a classroom. He'll talk to you through your kids. Come on. If you are listening, he will talk to you. He talks to me most when I quit talking. Can somebody say amen? I knew that one was coming. He talks to me most when I get quiet. He doesn't say, he that has an ear, tell me what you're hearing. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And sometimes we don't silence the voices enough that we can hear what the Lord is speaking to us. And so Simeon intercepts that baby, and he holds him in his arms, and he said, you, Lord, are my promise, and you have fulfilled the promise and given me opportunity. Let me just tell you, Simeon did not go home the same way he came that day. I mean, no, he had embraced an opportunity. He did not miss his moment. He did not miss an opportunity to embrace what God was doing in the house that day. And while he's standing there holding that baby, there's a woman of God who's been fasting and praying. Come on, somebody. There was a woman of God who did not leave the house, who stayed in the house, even when she didn't have a husband with her, even when she was widowed, even when she was alone and by herself, she stayed and she prayed and she fasted and she believed God. How many are thankful for some praying women in the house today? How many are thankful for grandma that prayed? How many are thankful for some genealogy of some women of God who stood up and said, not just men, but women who stood up and said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. And she goes in to the temple and she sees Simeon with that baby in her arms. Her name, Anna, means grace. Grace shows up when Jesus does. How many know grace intercepts that baby? From one man who begins to hear the word of the Lord. And when our hearing is mixed with grace, see, a lot of our hearing has been mixed with condemnation and doubt and fear and messed up theology to the point that we don't know whether we're coming or going sometimes. I want to just tell you this morning, the scripture says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind or clear thinking. How many are thankful in the house for a sound mind? Amen. So many days we look for that switch on the back of our head that if we could just turn it off and quit overthinking things. Am I in the house by myself today? And we sometimes have to refocus and redirect and remember the grace of God. And when the grace of God shows up in the house, hallelujah, and we begin to see she comes into the house, and then the scripture says, and she begins to tell everyone the redemption of Israel. Wait a minute, God used a woman named Anna to tell everybody about the redemption? Wait a minute, he picked an old man, Simeon, to embrace it? Come on, somebody. You might think you are beyond your years. You might think you don't have the credentials. You might be thinking I'm too old and I'm done. And I want to tell you this morning, you might just be getting started. You might just, Zachariah thought he was too old. Elizabeth thought she was too old. Anna and Simeon were old. And they were just getting started. Mary was too young. Joseph was too young. That baby was too young. Is that how my God works? Oh, you better believe it is. You got all the excuses. See, Moses said, I can't go. I can't be the deliverer. I can't deliver these people out of Egypt. First of all, I can't talk right. I don't have the words to say. I got a speech issue. How many know God is really good at deflecting your excuses? Amen. And God doesn't even answer Moses and say, well, I already knew about that. He says, I got it. I got you lined up. I got you an errand. I got you somebody who's going to help you speak. I got you somebody who's going to help you do what you need to do. See, because with what seems to be impossible with us is God, where God specializes in the things that are impossible. Amen? And so they show up in the temple, and when grace and hearing are mixed, we begin to see a revelation and a manifestation of who Jesus really is. I love the song that we sang this morning, break down the walls of all my religion, tear down the walls of all my traditions. Lord, do not let my mindsets of religion and tradition cloud who you are in my heart and in my life. Amen. I've grew up under a lot of ministries. I've grew up a lot of backgrounds. I've come through a lot of things. And what I found out in my life, I want to tell you this morning, he's way more loving. He's way more forgiving. He's way more powerful than I was ever told that he was. He's not an austere old man who's ready to strike me down. He's a loving father who wants to pick me up and embrace me and carry me in his arms. And he wants to nurture me. And he wants to walk with me. That's the kind of father, that's the kind of shepherd that he is. Has anybody ever seen that little slide on Facebook where that sheep is stuck in the crevice? And that shepherd there is, he's pulling and he pulls and he pulls and he finally gets that sheep out of that crevice, and that sheep runs along, goes over, falls right back down in another crevice again. And some of you said, yeah, been there. Done that, right? Been there, done that. But you know what he does? He goes over in that crevice, and he pulls again, and he pulls again, and he sets you up on your feet. And eventually, you will learn, don't go in that crevice. Don't go in that crevice. Stay away from the ditch. Amen. Keep your eyes on the road. Focus. Where you steer, you stay. Where you stare, you steer. But how many know that's the kind of God we serve? And we preach him sometimes as being an angry God, and all we talk about all the things that God hates. How about all the things that he loves? How about all the things that he, you know, we think that God is doing this, and he gets blamed for a whole lot of things. Now, how many know the grace of God is way bigger? It's way stronger, and it's way more powerful, and he will use whoever is willing and ready to be led by the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in the midst. How many know they were in a dark season? Mary gave birth in a dark cave. It was a time of corrupt government rule by the Romans. You think God can't move in the midst of corruption? Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. He takes opportunity to show up. Let me know there's a difference between waiting and procrastinating. Amen. There's a difference between waiting, I'm waiting on something, or I'm just procrastinating. The scripture said that Simeon and Anna were waiting. What were they doing while they were waiting? They were praying. They were fasting. They were faithful. They came to the house. They showed up. How many know there's something to be said about showing up for God? Showing up in the midst of situations. As we sometimes say, well, I'm waiting. No, we're procrastinating when we need to step into what God has provided. Joseph waited. Scripture says he didn't know Mary until after the baby was born. That no doesn't mean he didn't recognize her. It means they did not come together in relationship until after it was born. I heard a pastor say the other day, be the kind of husband that supports your wife in the call of God and the anointing on her life, even when it's hard. Amen. Amen. Be the kind of husband that supports your wife in the call of God and the anointing on her life, even when it's not popular, even when it's not well spoken of. But let me just switch that. Be the kind of wife who supports her husband in the call of God and anointing on his life, even when it's difficult, because God will work it for your good. Simeon, it says, it means he who hears. It says he was just and devout. Devout means he was committed, he was devoted. But I want to talk about the just part. He was just. That means he was righteous. But also in the sense that he was just a man. He was just a dad. He was just a man of faith. He was just devout. You might second guess yourself and say, but I'm just. You fill in the blank. God said, that's just the kind of person that I can use. Anna's name means grace. She was pious. She was religious and had moral virtues. She was prophetic and prayerful. God is looking for. I'm looking for some powerful, prayerful, prophetic people in this day that hear from heaven and not from the realm of the earth. Amen. Because when that starts to happen, there is an appearing of the Messiah in the day. You need to filter what you hear through the power of God's grace. She was stuck. They were stuck in a dormant season, right in the midst of darkness, silence, barrenness, corrupt government. But right in the midst of all of that, God begins to birth something. A Messiah. God becomes Emmanuel, and he becomes the God with us. They chose to listen and obey the Holy Ghost in that season. And I ask you this morning, what is your GPS system? Anybody ever had one of those old Garmins? Now we have, you know, our phones, and we just bring it up, and we get wherever we need to go, right? We trust that thing. Until it takes us down some cow path and through the back roads, and you've got to think there's got to be a better way. Anybody ever been there? We were going to a women's conference one time. We put in the GPS. It took us over these cow paths in these back roads around these places. We're like, there's no way we're going to get there from here. Dan and I were going the turnpike one time, going to Ohio or something like that, Pittsburgh, I don't know where we were going, and it kept saying, turn left, turn left. We're on the turnpike by the Jersey Wall. There is no left. There wasn't even a right. And so finally, my husband says, unplug that thing and put it in the back seat. Because it doesn't know what it's talking about. Somewhere, there was a left, but we didn't find it. How many times in our life do we put in the coordinates of where we want to go, and then we expect God to get us there the quickest and the best way possible? No traffic, no side journeys, right? And then what it would say is then when you didn't go the way that it wanted you to go, it would say recalculating. I just want to say, Lord, I am sorry today for all the times in my life you had to recalculate to get me where I need to be going. Now, I know I'm not in here by myself. Because we sometimes say, Lord, I'm going to do this today. Please bless that. Instead of saying, Lord, where are you leading me today? And what do you want for my life? What are you saying to me? Maybe you're like Anna this morning. Lord, I have been a long, quiet, dormant, widowed season. And I've prayed, and I've fasted, and I've watched, and I've not seen it yet, Lord. But I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep fasting, and I'm going to keep showing up because I know you're faithful. You have proved yourself faithful over and over. Maybe you're a Simeon. This guy, God, I know I heard your voice. I know I heard your word, but I have not seen yet. And I've not held in my arms all that you have promised for me. I know, God, you have spoken big things over my life. I know you have put desires in my heart. I know there are targets to hit, and I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to make it happen, God, but I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to show up, and I'm going to be faithful to what you've called me to do, and I'm going to go to the house like I've gone every. He shows up at the temple. I'm going to keep going like you told me to do, because you are faithful to your word. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. I want to tell you this morning, God has opportunity laid for many of you in here, this house this morning. Don't miss your opportunity of his appearing in your life and think that God has passed you by. Because he has not. He is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his promise. And no matter how much you try to force it in your life, it is the surrender of our heart to him that brings to pass the promise of God. Does God show up in your dark season? Oh, yes, he does. I give you a challenge this morning to put down your devices and pick up your Bibles. Have your family put down their devices. Pick up your Bibles. Communicate. Create. Be creative. Be in the moment. Don't miss opportunity. Don't miss opportunity for conversation. Don't miss opportunity for finding out about their day. Don't let devices be a substitute for communication and opportunities to connect with the ones that we love. Get ready for opportunity. Prepare your heart for encounter. Be led by the Holy Spirit. And don't miss your moment. Stay focused and attentive. Make it a priority. In closing, I want to tell you this morning that sometimes we got to make room for opportunity. The reason that the woman at the well came to the well in the middle of the day instead of the morning when the other women came is because she had had five husbands and the one she was with was not her husband. And so she came to the well where there would be less chaos, less women, and less gossip, is what is thought as to why she came in that season of the day. Jesus did not come for the water. He came for her. I want to tell you that when you open your heart for encounter, he will show up. And when she's sitting on the well, and when she's there at the well, he said, "Ma'am, would you give me a drink?" And he offers to give her a drink. I'm sorry. He offers to give her a drink. And she says, "Sir, you don't have a bucket. And this is a deep well." It was Jacob's well. How many know Jacob's well was a deep well of deception and trickery? And she said, "Sir, you don't have a bucket." If that doesn't make you chuckle, I don't know. I say that and I read that and I laugh out loud, LOL. I chuckle. She is looking to the creator of all the earth. The man from the beginning who hung the stars and the heavens. And he says, "If you'd ask me for a drink, I would give you one." You know, the one who parted the seas and the oceans. And she said, "Sir, you don't have a bucket." He said, "Go ahead and ask me. I'll give you a drink that you never thirst again." How many know Jesus knows how to fill your bucket? You can give him all the reasons in the world why he should not give you a drink. You can use your past. You can say, "I'm not worthy." You can say everything that you want to say. You don't have the right bucket. He just said, "Go ahead and ask me. Just ask me." He begins to speak to her in a tone that she's never heard from another man in all of her life. He says, "Ma'am, I can give you a drink. You'll never thirst again." He said, "I know your past, but I'm more concerned about your future than I am your past." She walked away from that opportunity and went back to her village and said, "Guys, you got to come see this man. I had an encounter today in a well all by myself from a man who didn't have a bucket, but he knew all about me. And he loves me anyway." What kind of God sends a poet and a writer to face a giant? David, a little boy, a psalmist, writing poetry and songwriter, and he shows up. How many know opportunity presents itself? David didn't go to fight a giant, but he didn't leave without fighting one. If there's a giant in your way, there's a giant killer already inside of you. Come on, somebody. Stand to your feet with me this morning. God will present you with opportunities. He will make himself real. He will show himself big to you if you will let him. Whatever your search may look like this morning, wherever you might be, you might say, "God, I've been waiting. I've been looking for you, and I can't find you anywhere, but I want to. I know you're there. I know you exist. I know all of those things, but today, God, I want to embrace you. God, I'm struggling with life in general, and I just need to know that the Holy Spirit is guiding me. I need to know that you are my GPS system. I need to know that grace covers me, that it abounds, that the love of Jesus is so much bigger and so much more powerful and so much more evident than anything I am looking at today." As Beth begins to sing, I just want to open the altar this morning. If you need prayer, if you want to come and kneel at the altar, if you want to come and you want to have us pray over you, if you want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior this morning, say, "Pastor Lisa, I've not encountered that, but I want it." If you want to receive Jesus, if you want prayer, if you're struggling in your faith, Dr. Howes preached a couple weeks ago about a crisis of faith. I mean, there were times even in the life of John the Baptist that he said, "Go ask him if it's him. Go ask him if it's him. And they went back and said, he's the real deal. Mm-hmm. And John said, John didn't say it, but I'm sure there was a piece that said, okay, then I must decrease. He must increase and I must decrease. If he's the real deal, I have done what he's called me to do. I mean, you know, sometimes there's times in our faith when we say, God, I just need your presence. God, I just need strength. I need words. I need the Holy Spirit to show up in my life. So if that's you this morning, you'd like us to pray with you, the altar is open. Just come forward. We'd be glad to do that. And let's just close our eyes in prayer. Can we do that? You can receive Jesus wherever, whenever. There's no special spot. Jesus, the woman at the well found him outside the city. But Simeon and Anna found him in the house. He's here and he's available this morning. If you want prayer, come on up. We'd love to pray with you. Hallelujah. Said the word of the Lord this morning is launch out into the deep. Don't remain in the safety of the shoreline because it brings limitations and you'll miss what God wants to do. Launch out in your faith. Launch out into the deep. In Jesus' name, we receive your word, Lord. Hallelujah.